So this morning, I want to look at the hero's journey as defined by Joseph Campbell and so beautifully created by George Lucas in the Star Wars films. And I paraphrased Joseph Campbell's definition of a hero to the kids earlier, but here's what he actually said. A hero is someone who has given his or her life to something bigger than oneself. So they've given their life to something bigger than themselves. And he wrote this amazing book called The Power of Myth, which is actually, it's an extended interview between journalist Bill Moyers and Joseph Campbell. And they observe that in reality, we are all heroes. And they say that because they say that just the act of being born is heroic. Here's what Campbell said. Otto Rank, in his important book, The Myth of the Birth of the Hero, declares that everyone is a hero in birth, where he undergoes a tremendous psychological as well as physical transformation from the condition of a little water creature living in a realm of amniotic fluid into an air-breathing mammal which ultimately will be standing. That's an enormous transformation, and had it been consciously undertaken, it would have been indeed a heroic act. Now, one of the beliefs that many of us share is that it is actually consciously taken, that we choose to be born, right? That we have a choice to incarnate or not, or literally to become meat or not. And so by that definition, because we consciously choose to be born, we are all heroes. So Campbell has identified some, what he calls milestones, consistent milestones in every hero's journey. He says we begin in what he calls the mundane world. So this is, you know, physical reality, right? This is the world of our ordinary existence. Then he says we experience what's called the call to adventure. Don't you love that? The call to adventure. This is some event or outright invitation that causes us to leave our normal world. Now, what's interesting about this, and when we look at our example in a few minutes, we're going to see this is true. We don't always embrace that invitation, right? Sometimes the call to adventure is thrust upon us. But ultimately, we are compelled to venture forth. So when we heed this call, we cross what he calls the threshold into the unknown. So we're leaving everything we've always known, everything we thought we knew, and we're crossing into the unknown. Now, he says sometimes this is a symbolic crossing of the threshold, and sometimes it's a literal crossing, a literal moving from one place or one state to another. He said, then there's the initiation, or what he calls the path of trials, which I think is a little bit of an understatement when you think of some of the trials that some of the classic heroes have gone through. But this is where our hero proves that they are worthy of heroic status. And he says an interesting thing, and this is the book, The Power of Myth. He says, it seems to me we've forgotten that all three of the great religions teach that the trials of the hero journey are a significant part of life, that there's no reward without renunciation, without, quote, paying the price. The Quran says, do you think that you shall enter the garden of bliss without such trials as came to those who passed before you? And Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, great is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be who find it. And the heroes of the Jewish tradition undergo great tests before they arrive at their redemption. And then this is Campbell. That was Bill Moyer speaking. And then Joseph Campbell says, if you realize what the real problem is, losing yourself, giving yourself to some higher end or to another, you realize that this itself is the ultimate trial. when we quit thinking primarily about ourselves and our own self-preservation, we undergo a truly heroic transformation of consciousness. Isn't it interesting that the daily word for today was awakening and talked about a transformation of consciousness? Campbell goes on, and what all the myths have to deal with is transformations of consciousness of one kind or another. You have been thinking one way, you now have to think a different way. And Bill Moyers asks him, well, how is consciousness transformed? And Campbell replies, either by the trials themselves or by illuminating revelations. Trials and revelations are what it's all about on the hero's journey. So our consciousness must be transformed as the result, as the part of the path of trials. And I'm not going to talk too much about Yoda, because in 2 weeks it's going to be all Yoda all day. I'm even going to bring in a sampling of my many Yodas that are scattered around our home. Yes, I have the most tolerant husband in the world. But Yoda addressed this with Luke. The importance of this shift in consciousness when he said, we must unlearn what we have learned. And most of Yoda's training with Luke wasn't about teaching him so much as getting him to let go of what he thought he knew. So our hero may be called upon to slay dragons. Some heroes will battle literal dragons, and like the dragons that guard their treasure, right? Whatever the treasure is that the hero's trying to get to, right? Or in Greek mythology, the monsters, right? They'll have to slay them in order to get to their treasure. But some heroes will battle inner dragons, the doubts and the fears. We call it, in coach world, we call it monkey mind, right? We have to deal with our monkey mind. But whether the dragons are literal or figurative, they have to be slain in order for the hero to complete their journey. We also meet companions and mentors along the way. Another great example, and I'm not going to talk about it today because it is sci-fi, but another great example of the hero's journey is the Wizard of Oz, right? Dorothy being the ultimate hero, but all of her companions, right, are her companions and her mentors and her support team. Another wonderful example of the hero's journey. So the hero, this is the important point about the companions and mentors. The hero doesn't do it alone. Very critical component of the hero's journey. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? The companions and mentors are critical. They may bring balance, right? What was it that the jester used to whisper to the king? Honey, thou art but human, right? The jester brought balance to the king when the adulation of the king, thou art but human, is what the jester would whisper in the king's ear. Sometimes they help them in battle, and they definitely help them to learn their lessons along the way. But ultimately, the hero's journey is one of transformation. And in order to be transformed, and this is like the gruesome part of the hero's journey, but you'll see it. As soon as I say it, you'll see it in some of our favorite myths about heroes. There is usually a death or a dismemberment. Right? So I'm going to jump ahead to the end here. Remember in Star Wars, please don't tell me if you haven't seen it. I don't want to know. If you remember in Star Wars, and if you haven't seen it, spoilers, both Luke and Darth Vader lose body parts. And it's actually part of their awakening. It's part of what shakes them to the point that they are willing to embrace the hero's journey. Right, to embrace the truth of their path. So literally, in order for the hero to be transformed, sometimes they have to die to their old life or lose a body part. They go through a symbolic death sometimes, but something is lost on the journey. Marianne Williamson refers to this as that final act of surrender. And I love how she approaches this. She says, until your knees finally hit the floor, you're just playing at life. And on some level, you're scared because you know you're just playing. The moment of surrender is not when life is over. It's when it begins. There's another interesting element of this journey, and we're definitely going to see it in Star Wars. It's called Atonement with the Father. And the premise of this one is that many of the hero's journeys are initiated. Their call to adventure, remember back in the very beginning, that call to adventure that got them out of the mundane, was because they were searching for their father. They had either literally or figuratively lost their father. So atonement is also at one-ment. We talk about atonement. It's becoming at one with something. So for many of the heroes, a big part of their journey was becoming at one again with the father figure. An interesting thing that we'll definitely see in the Star Wars example. And then finally, the hero reaches their goal and they find what's called the magic elixir. Remember, we start off on our hero's journey because there's a problem or a challenge, that thing that calls us out of the mundane. And what we are looking for is that ultimate boon or magic elixir that's going to fix the problem. Remember, think of the golden fleece. Remember from Greek mythology? That was the golden fleece was the magic elixir. So the hero, through brave deeds, procures this magical remedy and then solves the problem. And then comes the good part. Believe it or not, it's this all leading up to the good part. And that's called the hero's return. The hero returns with a gift. So the hero doesn't go through all of this for themselves. The hero doesn't go through the transformation for their own gratification. The hero grows through this, as we heard in the original definition, to help others, to make the world a better place, to take whatever suffering they've encountered, whatever trials they've encountered, to transform them into a gift. And Campbell says, in order for the hero's journey to be complete, they must return to their old world with a new treasure to share with those they love and serve, a new consciousness and a new understanding of who they are and what they have to contribute. Think about the masters that we revere and study, Jesus and Siddhartha, the Buddha, and the prophet Muhammad. They all went through these transformations, these trials, and they all returned with gifts. And in each of their cases, the gift was a greater understanding of our human and spiritual nature. We just need to keep being taught it over and over and over again. I saw a really cute cartoon the other day, and it had Jesus and Siddhartha, the Buddha, sitting on a cloud, and they looked at each other and said, "All right, whose turn is it to go down this time?" Right? The hero's journey. So my friend Maria Nemeth, who wrote The Energy of Money, she has studied Campbell extensively, and she does a wonderful summary of the hero's journey that I want to share with you. She said, the hero's journey is a path fraught with trials and triumphs, tribulations, and treasure. It is often thought of as a classic coming-of-age story. We all undergo such a journey, consciously or unconsciously, in our individual lives. And we all go through the same basic stages of this journey as we undertake new pursuits and goals throughout our lives. We depart from our familiar routines, lives, or families. We enter into unknown territory where we encounter fears, mysteries, dragons, and mentors. We are initiated into new understandings, pursuits, or skills. And finally, we gain mastery over our newfound skills, ourselves, and our particular part of the world. In some early myths, the hero makes no attempt to slay the dragon. He merely turns to face it, neither running from it nor fighting it. and sometimes even asks the dragon what it has to teach him. The dragon then becomes an ally that helps him along his path. The heroic myth is enacted time and again in contemporary fiction and movies. And this is where she talks about Star Wars. In the Star Wars trilogy, for example, Luke Skywalker travels through all the stages described above as he learns to become a conscious conduit of energy. And in this case, the energy is the Force. In the final scenes of Return of the Jedi, he at last throws down his sword, lightsaber, and turns to Darth Vader saying, "I will not fight you, Father." His nemesis becomes his ally, and Darth Vader then saves Luke from the evil Emperor. Once more, the dragon is transformed into a powerful ally, this time in the form of a loving father. By facing the truth and making allies, we gain energy and power. By seeing and acknowledging difficulties, we enable ourselves to face our obstacles and attain our goals and dreams. To complete the hero's journey, we must awaken to our own power and potential, and ultimately bring treasure, knowledge, energy, and power back to the people that we love. So clearly, the hero's journey of Luke Skywalker and his father, spoilers, is our modern mythology. It's our modern-day contemporary version of the hero's journey. What's really interesting is that George Lucas went through his own journey to get to bringing us Star Wars, and he studied Joseph Campbell's work extensively. So it's no coincidence that Luke's journey is the hero's journey, as exemplified by Campbell's work. And what's really interesting is that Campbell studied with an anthropologist named Adolf Bastian. And Adolf Bastian was apparently the first person who suggested that these myths contained archetypes that were consistent across all boundaries. And then, of course, Carl Jung took the whole archetype thing, and took it even further and said that he believed that they were actually the building blocks of the conscious and the unconscious mind. So he said, in other words, Jung believed that everyone in the world is born with the same basic subconscious model of what a hero or a mentor or a quest is. That we're all born with that. And that's why people who don't even speak the same language enjoy these hero stories. They believe it is literally in our DNA that we have an understanding of what the hero and the mentor is. So Campbell sums this all up by saying, "All religions are true, but none are literal." Again, back to our understanding. That is, he concluded that all religions are really containers for the same essential truth. And the trick is to avoid mistaking the wrappings for the diamond. Hence our yearning to make sense of our journey. But we all have that same innate understanding. He says, he noted that while mythic structure is universal, myth itself must be kept fresh through constant reinterpretation. Every generation must recontextualize, I love that word, myth to suit their times, to create their own roadmap for how to best fit into the world. And I loved it that after the release of Star Wars, Campbell and Lucas actually became friends, and Campbell credited Lucas with reinvigorating interest in the mythology story, and Lucas called Campbell my own personal Yoda. So let's quickly look at Luke's journey. The mundane world. He's born on a farm on Tatooine, right? And he is bored with the farm. Remember that scene? He's like, "I want to get out of this farm." Interestingly, when his call to adventure comes, right? This is when the two droids arrive at the farm, remember, and the beep, 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 and R2-D2, and they see the little message from Princess Leia, and you know, he's led to Obi-Wan out in the desert, who everybody thought was dead. That was Luke's call to adventure, which he kept saying he wanted. And then if you remember from the movie, when Obi-Wan says, come and study with me and join the resistance, what does Luke say? Yeah, maybe after the harvest, right? So he's whining to his uncle on the one hand, I want to get out of here. And yet when he has the chance to get out of here, he says no. I don't know about you, I can relate to that, right? So then he crosses the threshold. This is where he's thrust into the unknown when his aunt and uncle are killed by the Imperial troops. At this point, the universe has conspired, as we like to say in the business, to get him across that threshold. So they go to the spaceport, they go to Mos Eisley, and this is where he starts meeting his intrepid band of companions and mentors. So he has Han, he has Leia, he has the droids, he has Chewbacca, he has Obi-Wan Kenobi, and eventually he has Master Yoda. And then he begins his path of trials, which of course is the entire trilogy, again ignoring the other three. He goes through the trials of discovering who he is, of embracing his gifts, of joining the resistance, and he eventually becomes that master of two worlds. He goes through that shift in consciousness from the innocent farm boy to the leader of the rebellion. And the only way he can do that is because he accepts his responsibility as the one who needs to be the chosen one. He accepts the trials. He accepts the training. He accepts the tribulations. And he comes out the other side a hero. Now, just that would make him the quintessential hero. Except what really did it for me was that scene in the end where the Emperor is offering him unlimited power. He says, come rule the galaxy with me. Now, I don't know about you, that might be a hard invite to turn down. I don't know, queen of the galaxy, right? But there was a catch. In order to do it, he had to kill Darth Vader, who he now knew was his father. And so in that incredible scene in Return of the Jedi, he lays down his sword, he lays down his saber, and he refuses to kill his father. He says, no, you've lost. I will not go to the dark side. I will not kill my father. And it's that act that redeems them both. Because in the end, it's Darth Vader who saves Luke. Because Luke has saved him. Yoda had taught him, a Jedi's strength flows from the Force, but beware of the dark side. Anger, fear, aggression, the dark side of the Force are they. Easily they flow. Once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny, and consume you it will. I thought it was really interesting as I was doing more research on the Campbell-Lucas relationship, because I think that is so fertile. I found a little article on Jitterbug that said, in myths, characters often embody more than one archetype. The mentor, for example, can have their own heroic arc and their own mentor. Just as Obi-Wan originally learned about the Force from Yoda, Joseph Campbell studied mythology under Heinrich Zimmer, an anthropologist who studied in India and who specialized in Indian studies. In particular, Zimmer described the concept of prana. Now, if you do yoga, you know what prana is. Prana translates literally into breath and means the all-pervading vital force, vital energy of the universe. Buddhists brought the concept of prana to China, where it was called qi, and later to Japan, where it's called kai. This idea may have influenced Lucas's idea of the force. And then taking it back even one more step, Heinrich Zimmer was a disciple of Ramana Maharshi. As they say in the article, an honest-to-goodness, real-life spiritual teacher with a touch of divinity about him. So we can actually trace the force back to a Buddhist concept of prana, of breath, of that all-pervading energy that throws through the universe. So Zimmer had Maharshi, Campbell had Zimmer, Lucas had Campbell, and Luke had Obi-Wan, heroes all. So Anakin Skywalker had been consumed by the dark side, but Luke saw beyond Darth Vader. He saw beyond the helmet, beyond the mask, beyond the darkness and the apparent evil. He saw the goodness that was still there. Luke looked through Darth Vader and saw his dad. And that's what saved them both. That scene always reminds me of a teaching by one of my heroes, which is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., where he said, the ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral, begetting the very thing it seeks to destroy. Instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. Through violence, you may murder the liar, but you cannot murder the lie nor establish the truth. Through violence, you may murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. In fact, violence merely increases hate, and so it goes. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So on our hero's journeys, we are called to be love, and we are called to be the light. And we are called to turn our swords into plowshares and to lay down our lightsabers and to see beyond the apparent evil and the darkness into the truth. So there's a brief shot at the very end of Return of the Jedi where the Ewoks, remember the cute little Ewoks, are drumming, and what they're drumming on are the helmets of the stormtroopers. So they've turned this symbol of evil into a musical instrument. It's kind of Lucas's version of beating our swords into plowshares. And it reminded me of this. This was brought home from Vietnam by my father. It is a shell casing of a bomb that was dropped. He dropped some of them. And they would collect them, and they would take them to the villages, and they would carve them, and they would turn them into lamps. And I thought, what an amazing example of turning an instrument of death into a bringer of light. Very happy he brought it home, and that he could bring it home. That is what we're called to do on our hero's journeys, to take our trials and our tribulations and our darkness, because we all have it, that's next week, and turn them into gifts, to do the work we need to do to make a difference, to make the world a better place. So we get to ask ourselves, who are we called to be? The song we sang earlier. Who are we called to be? What are we called to do? As individuals and as a community, what is Unity of Palmyra called to be and to do? What are we being called to share? Let's take those thoughts and questions into meditation. As you breathe, recognize that the air you breathe in is energy, is power, is the force. That life energy that flows through us and around us and demonstrates as us. That energy that is always available to us. When we choose to see it, to feel it, to be it, to recognize it not as separate from us, but a part of us. For that is the true gift of the hero's journey. The gift we bring back with us. The gift we are called to share. The gift that every master throughout time has lived and died to teach us. That we are the light. That we are more than we think. That we are heroes all on an incredible journey. And so I invite you to look back over your journey. What do you notice? What do you see? What did your trials teach you? See the faces of your companions and your mentors. Allow yourself to feel grateful for their support, for their love, and sometimes for how they challenge us. As you look back over your journey, who are you called to be? What gifts are you called to bring? What difference does your heart yearn to make in the world? Like Luke, we may resist at first, but the universe will have its way. You are a light. You are a gift. You are an incredible vehicle through which the Force desires nothing more than to demonstrate through. And so today, we say yes. Yes to the journey. Yes to the heroic deeds, large and small. Yes to embracing who we are called to be. Yes to the difference we are called to make. One more big, deep breath. And so it is. Namaste.